Want instant MVP status? Join the new Dick's Scorecard Plus program. For $99, Scorecard Plus members enjoy 1 year packed with perks, like $80 in annual bonus rewards, free shipping with no minimum purchase, triple points on 2 purchases, and more. That's over $160 in benefits. Join Dick's Scorecard Plus today and score more than ever. Tap the banner to learn more. Exclusions and terms apply. Visit dicks.com/scorecardplus for details.
Brilliant. Right, we've got a little 10 minutes now, and we're going to do a little Q&A session for a little podcast extra, okay? But what we're going to do is we're going to flip the Q&A thing around a little bit, because Q&A sort of works as you ask questions, we give the answers. But actually what we want to do is we want to do an A and Q. Does that work?
You're all right.
Yeah, yeah.
A and Q.
Where we ask... No, that doesn't work.
We give an answer and you question it.
This is the answer. What is the question? Yeah.
Thank you very much. No, basically, we can ask you a question. So, hands up here. Who in the audience works in gaming? Who works in the games industry? Lovely. Amazing. So, we had marketing down here. So, have we got a question for someone who works in marketing? Okay, what is the hardest game? Oh, that was the best game you've ever had to market. Right front here. Dave's going to go around. What's the best game? Have a little think about it. Putting you on the spot, and then we'll ask people what other stuff they do in games, and we'll have what's the best game you've ever marketed?
I wouldn't say a best game, but I would say probably I would say the project I'm on at the moment is probably going to be the best game that I'm going to be marketing.
Tell us all about it.
Well, it is a single player game. And I will probably be leading most of the marketing for it.
Yeah.
I don't really have much to say about it.
Oh, it's very secretive. We like it. Very secretive.
I'm kind of limited, yeah.
Yeah.
It's a bit early still.
That's it's a bit early still. Bit okay.
We know it's single player.
Single player.
It's GTA, it's you, baby.
Yeah, yeah. We've got a GTA developer in here. Come on. You're talking about the challenges of marketing earlier. What is so hard about marketing games at the moment?
I would probably say two areas, really. I would say one, building up a community around your game, like so a niche market that you can
all podcasts talk to about it. It's hard work, isn't it?
Yeah, it is. and then I would say also getting it out to the right audience. I'd say if you're marketing in the UK, you want to make sure that you're hitting the right audience. So maybe talking to content creators.
Yeah, yeah.
That genre of your game as well, making sure that you reach that audience. Or what other kind of audiences can you bring in that might be, not necessarily the normal players, but there might be some little marketing tactics you could bring people in that way.
Yeah.
And
it's tough because games, because we're not just competing with other games, right? But you're competing with telly and movies and for eyeballs. It's hard work out there. All right, hands up. Who else was working in the games industry? Who did we have? Back right, what's your job in the space?
So I work as a voice actor, like Einel.
Amazing. So, I mean, Einel's told us loads about the fun things about being a voice actor. Tell us what's the hardest thing you've ever had to do as a voice actor. We had Melisandre Mahu on with us recently from Assassin's Creed.
It was great.
And she was saying that all the death noises you have to do is hard work. What do you think?
Yeah, well, actually, one of the games here I worked on was Karma, The Dark World.
Great.
Which was, that was probably one of the most challenging voice acting jobs I've ever done. It's weird to say the hardest stuff is where you're not actually saying anything at all, because we were doing long sequences in that where it was just breathing. And, like, obviously you know it's not real, but when you're breathing like you're having a panic attack for about 3 minutes straight, your body doesn't think so. So you're trying to, like, stay upright, and you're like, I need a minute before we do that one again.
Everyone in that game is in hell as well. Like, everyone's stressed out.
Yeah, there's not much levity, I will say, in that experience.
How'd you get into character when the scene is, and so you're dead and you're in hell?
Yeah.
Mm. How do you even begin that process?
It's a good question. I'm from Cardiff, so I just pretend I'm going through Newport.
That's not fair on the people of Newport, but you are right. The Bryngelas tunnels, isn't it? It's the Bryngelas tunnels. Yeah. Very good, right. Yeah. So we've had a voice actor, we've had marketing. Hands up, who else is... We had down here, yeah, lovely. Thank you very much. What do you do?
So I currently design gaming peripherals and also manage community to develop like R&D with them right now.
Oh, that's what's gaming peripherals, because that was such big business and important, right?
Yes, very much so.
What's the hardest thing about designing gaming peripherals?
Making everyone happy.
Frankie, you're a big peripherals user, aren't you? Because of all the, because your setup, so you've got a jazzy setup.
Kind of a jazzy setup. Yeah, I go through peripherals, and yeah, mine are currently pretty much all pink at the moment. And I never thought I would have that when I was younger, but actually, I'm kind of into it now. Maybe because I'm sort of getting older and I have no shame. I'm just like, yeah.
Yeah,
I'm
why into not?
It. Why not? But the most important thing is them being wireless. That's what I've discovered, the joy of wireless.
I worry about wireless, though, with batteries. I'm not a good charger of my things.
Yeah, but you don't have to charge them that often. It's really like once a month. It's barely anything.
Okay. Aina, what do you say? I mean, peripheral. I mean, Aina loves a gadget. Aina loves a gadget, okay? He's got posh glasses
on today.
I'm your
audience. anything bespoke or anything like... I particularly love like controllers and stuff that are just made just for one game. And it's like for some reason, we've got the... In our house, my brother's got the Resident Evil 4 chainsaw controller. And it's
this unwieldy thing.
It's you can't use it for any game, but it's great. I just have it there and it's like, yeah, it's sick. It just looks amazing. But to use, it's horrible. It's absolutely horrible.
Amazing. So we've had peripheral designer, we've had marketing, we've had voiceovers. Anybody else works in the industry? Our lady here in there with the glasses?
I'm a games journalist. I'm not sure if that counts.
Absolutely
it counts. Yeah.
Are you writing? You're on digital or?
Yeah, I'm a news writer.
And what are you enjoying about writing with the games industry at the moment? Because it's pretty tough out there, right?
Yeah, at the moment, I'm enjoying writing a lot of stuff about studios unionizing because I'm very pro unions. Uh-huh. Yeah. And then about kind of on the flip side of that, everything going on with AI in games because I'm very anti-AI. So yeah. Every time SAG-AFTRA like extends its strike against AI in game production, I'm like, hell yeah.
And do you think that people are, because AI has taken over conversation, not just in the game space, but like in wider society at the moment, right? Do you feel like there is enough of a conversation happening around AI, its use in games, and the impact that's going to have? Because, of course, AI has been part of gaming for years, right? But how it's being used now is what's changing.
I do think there's room to talk more about how AI affects performers, and I think that ball really got rolling when the footage of Sony's AI Aloy got leaked. I think that was like a massive catalyst for being like, wait a minute, it's illegal to like duplicate people's voices and, you know, images forever and ever.
A lot of sort of chat recently, some magazines are closing and all that sort of thing. Are you feeling, give us a bit of a ray of hope for the future of games journalism in the UK, because we need it, it's important.
Yeah, I mean, I'm a pretty young journalist, so I think I still feel very optimistic about it. Some of my editors are a little more like not optimistic, but I still think there's a space for it. And I think as like younger journalists come up and they're more passionate about these topics. And more
if you've only ever known it to be as hard as it currently is, then that's better. Yeah. And obviously if you've got, but like, it's best to just not read what like magazines were like in the 90s. And they're sort of like, yeah, we used to do cocaine every day. Yeah.
And that was just a breakfast. Yeah. Very good. Well, good. We've had a bit of optimism about games journalism. That's good. Because it's big, isn't it, Frankie? We need people writing, talking, doing podcasts about games. And we need to support that.
We really do. I think there's an alarming trend in the industry for just sending things out to influencer types and not actually seeing the benefits of putting out your product to press anymore. And actually, I'm going to trust the press way more than I'm going to trust an influencer who's on TikTok, who's literally got an incentive and a link to TikTok shop when they talk about a product. So I think that it's really important for us still to have the freedom of the press to actually share their real opinions on things. And I think we're in this era of review bombing as well, where there's a risk of that noise drowning out the opinions of people who actually know what they're talking about and are impartial like yourself.
Yeah. Bang. So keep up the good work. Right. So we've got journalists, we've had peripheral designer, we've got marketing, we've got voiceovers. Anybody else? Check shirt. Dave, right next to you there. By the way, have you still got those Continue Club and XCB stickers? Because good man.
Again, another one I'm not sure it counts, education.
Of course it counts. Yeah, games are big in education. I did an amazing piece once. I got so lucky. Went to the school that had the first ever school in the UK to put gaming on the curriculum, right? And it was the transformation of these kids. It was a school for children with special educational needs. And to see how they interacted, and they were playing Peggle. Is it?
Yeah, that's one.
You should see... the way they were interacting on that day and the way they learned their maths, English, and communication skills via the medium of gaming, absolutely, that totally counts, 100%. So, in what part of the space are you in?
University level, teaching game design personally.
Wow.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, which one of us mentioned a game that's badly designed, in your opinion, and I went full episode earlier because you definitely did mention one.
Is it Ken Livingstone Simulator?
I think there is. So, you know how there is a food for everyone?
Yeah.
I think there's games for everyone. Yeah. So I don't think there's any bad games. I just think you just haven't found your game yet.
No, yeah. There are. Bubsy 3D.
What about like a really bad game design choice in general? A mechanic that you're like, I hate this mechanic and it needs to stop.
I mean, microtransactions.
Yeah. Preach, brother. Yeah, absolutely. Fantastic.
And also, Dark Souls games, I just do not like them. So.
Fair.
The two hard games are too hard. Life's
it's
hard. I don't want games to be hard.
I don't mind the hard bit, it's the Souls bit that I don't like.
For losing your currency.
Exactly.
But we had this with Sonic the Hedgehog. You got two chances. You lose your rings once, you lose your rings twice, then you're dead. That Souls with it.
Yeah, too much.
Yeah, but Sonic was blue and fuzzy and colourful, so you didn't
Sonic
really realise it.
Sonic is harder.
Yeah, maybe.
Sonic's harder than Dark Souls.
Okay, sorry, the lecture meeting came out.
The student in me came out, and I'm going to rebel.
Yeah.
the fun fact about Sonics, they were targeted for Western audience. They actually did research to find out what is it that Westerns like. That's why he's blue. That's why he has golden. It's all targeted for us.
There's an amazing documentary. Is it on Netflix? The amazing documentary, the SNES Sega Battles of the 90s. For the people listening who love nostalgia, have a watch of that documentary. It's amazing. Have you seen it?
Is it the one Charles Martin narrates?
I can't remember who narrates it, but it's really good. I'll find it. We'll put a link on social media or something like that. All right, anybody else? We've got education. We've got peripheral designing. We've got voiceovers. We've got marketing. Right at the back, we've got journalists.
So I work for a company who publishes physical media, all to do with games. So journals, like journalism stuff, vinyls, and soon physical games as well, especially indie physical games.
Yeah. Lost in cult.
We love holding on to things.
Hey.
Glenn was talking... You were waxing lyrical about your Final Fantasy IX booklet only earlier on.
Yeah, and I miss physical media. I do try and buy more physical games now, and it's a real rare treat, especially when it's not just a massive AAA title that's come out in sort of, hard physical form. Yeah. Sometimes when you get an indie title that's out on a disc as well, you go, this is great. You feel like it's a real, like... collector's item, do you know what I mean?
Yeah, and
I think saying that as somebody who owns special, Gollum, I own Gollum, the PS5 version, on disc.
Yeah.
That's going to be worth a lot one day.
Are you?
But not yet.
It's that and the ET game. That yeah.
it does feel special, especially like when you get some of these bits of artwork and physical media for like indie titles as well. So I do love the work that you guys do at... Lost in Cult. They do a beautiful Sable one, and I love Sable, and the book that goes along with it. It's like, oh,
yeah.
It's like, yeah.
Can you tell us any physical indie games that are going to be coming out?
No.
Okay. Yeah.
Some BAFTA nominated games are coming to Switch. It's physical.
Animal.
We'll work it out. We'll do the Venn diagram. We'll figure it out. Did everybody get their stickers, by the way? Those who wanted to be Continue Clubbers and XCBs, did you all get one? There's more if you want them. Or if you want a sticker, Mike is handing out with your Continue Club or XC Beast stickers. Right, we are down. Last 10 minutes. Any last different jobs that we want to chat about? Or have you got any questions for us or the panel before we love you
and leave you to go and play some games? Fantastic jobs out here.
Any thoughts? Anything you want to... Oh, we got a question. Dave, just back here.
Oh, it's not a question. I'm a solo dev.
Oh, so all right. How is that? What's that like?
It's not fun. But it's also fun, right? So, like, you get to do kind of what you want to do in life, which is awesome. And I'm kind of YOLOing it, which is, it's not like, you know, the advice, make small games. No. Make the game you want to make, and other opinions be damned.
Yeah.
I was going to say, what's the planning like as a solo dev? Like, in terms of like planning your time, planning on what you want to work on, or is it just like you're just like spitballing? I'm just going to work on this today. I'm going to work on that today.
Nah, heavily planned. I worked in finance for 12 years, so like more on the programming side. So like, yeah, piece of paper, plan the day, look at the main sort of timeline, and just try and get stuff done.
Nice and organized.
Do you have a game here?
No. I'm only 1 year in.
Oh, wow.
Is that
okay.
a long time? I don't know if that's a long time or not.
I often wonder when you're solo deviling that, it's like ambition for lots of people to be able to do it. Is the financing of it hard? Because ultimately cash, right? You need to be able to find money to be able to finance it and do it. Has that been tricky?
With two kids and a mortgage, two mortgages. Yeah, it's whatever.
Yeah.
It's but okay. It could be worse.
When it comes out and it's a smash global hit, then we'll be able to say we had you on the podcast. So have you got a name for it yet?
Yeah.
What's it called?
It's called Vein Uprising.
There we are. Keep Whoa. Your eyes and your ears out for that. And we're very excited to hear more about it on the podcast in the future. Any more? This is the last thought. Are we going to say thank you very much? Right. Okay. So one last time, if you don't mind, giving a big round of applause for Glenn Moore, everybody. And to Frankie Ward. To Inel Tomlinson. My name is Stefan. We've been Press X to continue. Thank you very much. We will see you all very, very soon. Thank you. Goodbye.